God's not done yet. It's not done. Everyone in here was an underdog at one time or another. Counted out, pushed out, forgotten. But God came and sought you and said, I want to share my life with you. I have a plan for you. And I want you to think about what that looked like for you before he came and got you and how on time it was when he did. Because it's often in looking back that you see, if he didn't come when he came, I probably would not be here today. Just because my life was not going the way that it should have gone, because I had some good plans, but they really weren't working, because it was all about satisfying my flesh, my desires, and me. But God in his great mercy started knocking on the door of our hearts and said, hey, let me in. I got something I want to show you, and I have something I want to share with you. And the more you live and the more you begin to understand about God, the more you realize how magnificent his grace is. And it was his mercy that saved you. The Bible says that it was because of his own purpose and pleasure that he even created you. And that he didn't save you because of all the good things that you did. He saved you because he decided to save you in spite of you. And so when you begin to see it that way, you begin to realize I have nothing but to give my life back over to him because of what he did. So if he gave his life for me, the least I can do, the Bible says, is to present my life a living sacrifice back to him. That's the least you can do. That's your reasonable act of service. One, are you doing that? And two, it's what makes the most sense when you think about it. Because you were going nowhere, but he saved you. And now you have a home that's not here. He gave you purpose. And you belong here because of what he did. God is always on time. He's never late. He never does it like you want him to do it, but he always does it on time because he is the big brother that shows up to the fight at the right time. And I think that's how God wants you to view him. Not just as God. We know he's God. We have respect for him. There's awe, but there's a deeper level to know that he's for you and he's not against you. And when you have that perspective and you would have that confidence to know that heaven is backing me. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can stop me. Nothing. No enemy, no fight, no debilitating thought process. Nothing can stop me because of who Jesus is. And when you begin to see that, it changes your perspective on suffering because you know that suffering is producing something in you that cannot be produced any other way. Perseverance, character, and hope. And so that hope doesn't disappoint. And so there should not be a disappointment. Not that you don't get disappointed, but there should not be a disappointment in God, like, well, there's no hope in God. No, there is a hope that doesn't disappoint because you're learning something in the process. And now you realize that if heaven's for me, what could be against me? There's something inside of you that should be changing for the better and should be exploding outward. You might not be able to see it, but you can feel it. I feel it now. Just the Spirit of God just breaking out to know that nothing, no Romans chapter 8, no height, nor depth, nor principality, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other created thing is going to be able to separate you from the love of God. It doesn't matter what it is. God said, I got you, and I'm on time, and I'm working on your case. If you'll just see me, it's going to change how you live. It's going to change how you live, not just how you live, but the type of freedom that you walk in. Because I believe the Spirit of God is breaking out and it's going to be hard to contain it. You can't contain it. And so I think what the body is having to deal with is a shift in control and trying to be able to contain who God is. You cannot contain who God is. You cannot contain. You can't try to figure out how he's going to do it. You can't try to like manipulate it. You can't try to get God to do it the way you want him to do it. He's going to do it the way, if he waited a couple more days before he went to see Lazarus, he will wait just a couple more days, just to go and wake you up when he decides that it's time to wake you up. Because all it requires is this: come forth. Because he said, when I send my word out, it's going to accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. And so he goes, I'm careful in what I say, because if I say it, it's going to happen. Don't you worry. I got it. Because I honor my word above my very name. And when I say it's going to change, it's going to change. It's going to change. So I want to encourage you today that he is shifting things. He is shifting perspective. There should be an anticipation in your heart that God is doing something, and not boredom. Not boredom or like complacency, like, well, it's just another thing. If it's just another thing, just go somewhere else and find something else to do. Because it's not just about another thing. God is doing something, again, on a larger level that you can't control and you can't contain. You cannot contain it. And the more you try to contain it, the more frustrated you're going to be. It's another level of freedom and faith and depth that God is bringing. And I want to challenge you to hold on and to go with him where he's asking you to go. Because it's not something that you can control. You know how it is, like when you were younger and you were doing something that maybe that was out of your comfort zone a little bit. You had like your parent there or a friend or brother said, hey, listen, don't go too fast. Or when it does, you had an arm to grab onto because it was like it freaked you out a little bit. So it's kind of similar to where you are right now. But God is speeding up the process. One of those things like this, you know, when you were younger too, you remember when you were trying to ride the roller coaster and you had to be a certain height? And kids were doing one of these things. They were brushing their hair up real high. Yeah, I got like another inch because they wanted to get on the ride and stuff. And I think what God's saying to you is this: everyone's at the same height. I mean, the requirement was the blood. Blood's enough, okay? All I'm asking you to do now is just take me at my word and ride with me. And I need you to trust me and where we're going. But if you can't, it's okay. You can still go back down. Remember how that was? You find out you couldn't do it and you got the walk of shame. And your mom would say, next year, honey, you'll be taller. And then finally, when you got to the ride, you're like, you're ready to go and you were fired up and you were scared, but you did it and you felt good. You had to wait a little time. You know, there comes a point where the opportunity is there for you to go. And if you don't go, it's not on God. It's on you. You got to jump on it, man. You got to jump on it.